Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's do as we usually do and begin our time together by dropping into silence. Turning our attention within. And even if we find that the mind just wants to wander back to the busyness of the world, not judging ourselves for that, and instead just gently and lovingly redirecting our wandering attention to a space within where we sense love. And letting that feeling of love be your anchor to this moment. This love is always there. It always exists in this moment. And so it's a beautiful anchor that we can turn our wandering attention to, return our wandering attention to over and over. And as we sense this love, let's offer this love to Holy Spirit, knowing that Spirit will use it in the best possible way to help everyone and everything as we offer our love, our willingness to Spirit within. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And so taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, turning our attention to the here and now as we join together to study the Course. All righty, so we are starting a section that is the same subheading regardless of the edition that you have. It's called The Bridge to the Real World. It's on page, in the Sparkle edition, page 393. In the original edition, it is chapter 16, part 7, The Bridge to the Real World. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 16, part 6, also called The Bridge to the Real World. Again, in the FIP edition, it looks like the content mostly looks the same to me. The paragraph breaks might be a little bit different, that's all. All right, so The Bridge to the Real World. I love this section, by the way. If we get to it, the latter part of our reading, I have a lot of underlining and a lot of hearts drawn all over my book, so it excites me. So The Bridge to the Real World. The search for the special relationship is the sign that you equate yourself with the ego and not with God. For the special relationship has value only to the ego. To the ego, unless a relationship has special value, it has no meaning. and it perceives all love as special. Yet this cannot be natural, for it is unlike the relationship of God and his Son, and all relationships that are unlike this one must be unnatural. For God created love as he would have it be, and gave it as it is. Love has no meaning except as its creator defined it by his will. It is impossible to define it otherwise and understand it. This is beautiful. So just commenting right immediately on what we just read, where it says love has no meaning except as its creator defined it by his will. God's will is our will. Remember that they're one and the same. So when it says his will, it's not any will that's outside of us. It's our will. It's our extension. It's our identity as well. So if we define it anything, if we define love in any way other than it actually is between God and all of creation, or between Father and Son, if we define it in any other way, it's impossible to understand it, because now we're making it, we're trying to make it different than what it is. So this is a pretty powerful statement, the first sentence that we read. The search for the special relationship is the sign that you equate yourself with the ego and not with God. Remembering that that's no reason to feel guilty. So if we read this and we're like, well, you know, I want a relationship of some sort, or it's no reason to feel guilty, because, again, we have to honor where we are at. But that is just a pretty powerful statement, that if we're looking for something other than God, we're searching from a part of us that doesn't quite remember where that love is that we're looking for. We're looking for it somewhere outside of God, when God is what we're looking for in everything and always.
Yeah, and you know, romantic love, maybe that's an example, right?
Yes.
'Cause that's outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Funny we should be reading this on Valentine's Day, right?
That's right.
That's kind of funny. Kind of comical. Go on.
I was just going to say that in addition to what Brian commented, I think you can also have the desire to have God be in your relationship, spirit be in charge of your relationship with your partner, or
definitely,
yeah.
That's the beauty of this, is that then, you know, so we came here to search, and search we must, and whatever it is, whatever situation, whatever relationship it is that we find ourselves in, because we're in relationship to everything, when we turn to the Holy Spirit, when we say, you know, I want to use this on behalf of healing rather than separating, then that's when the special relationship becomes a holy relationship, when, you know, it's not about keeping the separation going or keeping the ego going. It's when, you know, we're willing to find another way. So absolutely, Deidre. Thank you for adding that. It's important.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's always, you know, which voice, which teacher are we embarking on our journey with? Is it the voice, the teacher that is the teacher of the world of separation, or is it our inner teacher, the Holy Spirit, that we're committing to really manifesting in our relationship? Let's keep reading. Love is freedom. To look for it by placing yourself in bondage is to separate yourself from it. For the love of God, no longer seek for union in separation, nor for freedom in bondage. As you release, so will you be released. Forget this not, or love will be unable to find you and comfort you. There is a way in which the Holy Spirit asks your help, if you would have his. The holy instant is his most helpful tool in protecting you from the attraction of guilt, the real lure in the special relationship. You do not recognize that this is its real appeal, for the ego has taught you that freedom lies in it. Yet the closer you look at the special relationship, the more apparent it becomes that it must foster guilt and therefore must imprison. So again, that's what it's saying here about guilt is that when we, again, are using anything that we're in relationship with to keep the belief in bodies going or to keep the belief in separation going, there's guilt that comes up even if we're not aware of it because we, part of us knows that we're sort of stepping on our truth. We're sort of like trying to push out of our awareness the truth that we are, and there's part of us that feels intensely guilty for that. So that's what it's referring to when it brings up guilt in this paragraph. I also
I
love to oh, go on, DJ.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry. I think it's a really important point what you just said, Corinne, about things triggering guilt, because I think especially anything that we're in relationship with, like it can be money, it can be your partner, it can be family members, it can be animals, it can be food. But I think particularly because it is Valentine's Day and the world sort of looks at this day as like a big day for relationships and whatever, people can, I think, sometimes read things that are in A Course in Miracles and go, well, if it says that, does that mean I'm not supposed to have a life partner? Or
right.
Does that mean I'm never supposed to have sex? Or, you know, and I don't think that's ever what the Course is saying. I think what the Course is saying is, what are you using the things for?
Exactly.
If it's guilt, then you know it's voice, right? If it's...
Yep, yeah.
Right, so I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, that was perfect. That was perfect and so helpful. And that's where reading the Course through the eyes of the ego can make us feel guilty when we're misinterpreting it that way, when we're thinking like, oh, you know, this is saying I shouldn't do that. And no, that's absolutely, absolutely not the case. You said it beautifully. It's what are we using it for? What is it for?
Well, like the first sentence that we talked about earlier, the search for the special relationship is a sign that you equate yourself with the ego. That feels really heavy if you read it through the eyes of the ego, right?
But, right, right.
So,
yeah. So that's, I'm so glad that you articulated that because that is so, so, so important that we're aware of that and that we're clear on what this is actually saying. I'd love to, in the middle of the paragraph we just read where it says, there's a way in which the Holy Spirit asks your help if you would have his. The holy instant is his most helpful tool in protecting you from the attraction of guilt, the real lure in the special relationship. That holy instant is that moment. I just like to think of it almost as simply as that pause, that moment that we drop into our willingness and are willing to see something differently or we're willing to turn to spirit. You know, we're willing to not have that relationship be used on behalf of guilt or separation. So I love that sentence that the holy instant is the Holy Spirit's most helpful tool in protecting us because it happens in an instant. It's literally a shift that can happen in an instant. And we'll keep reading. So the next paragraph. The special relationship is totally without meaning without a body. And if you value it, you must also value the body. And what you value, you will keep. The special relationship is a device for limiting yourself to a body and for limiting your perception of others to theirs. the great rays would establish the total lack of value of the special relationship if they were seen. For in seeing them, the body would disappear because its value would be lost. And so your whole investment in seeing it would be withdrawn from it. You see the world you value. Wow, wow, wow. This is power. Again, just really powerful stuff, this first sentence. The special relationship is totally without meaning without a body. So special relationships, mm-hmm. we know them when we, as we see the body, as we are identified with the body. So even we can even have a special relationship. We even do have a special relationship to our own body.
Mm-hmm.
What you value, you will keep. The special relationship is a device for limiting yourself to a body and for limiting your perception of others to theirs. Again, that's another way of saying, just like we said before, that special relationships, again, the purpose of any relationship is going to be special if we're using it on behalf of staying in the dream, staying asleep, or it becomes holy if we're turning to the Holy Spirit, if we are willing to use that relationship on behalf of awakening.
See, the more you read this, Corinne, it seems like when you talk about love, it's almost like an intellectual love. It's a level of awareness as opposed to romantic love. You know, it's totally,
yes.
right? It's totally at the other end of the spectrum. Like, you're not emotionally caught in, like, you know, jealousy or, you know, this
right.
person didn't treat me this way, or I think I love them, but I don't know if they love me. There's nothing to do with that.
Right. You got it. You totally have it. That it's. I like how you called it a level of awareness, because I feel like that's what it is. That as we continue on this journey of turning our perceptions to the Holy Spirit and experiencing miracles, it's literally our awareness that's becoming expanded. That our level of awareness is expanding to open to this vast, ever-present, eternal, unconditional love that exists. That's not contingent, you know, upon anything. It's truly, truly unconditional. It's alive. It's very real. And you're right, Brian. It has nothing to do at all with mood swings or jealousy or he said or she said or, you know, any of that. It's totally this ever-present, ongoing
also,
love.
Also, I would think that, to me, that romantic love teaches separation. It's inherent in romantic love that there is separation, because it's a special relationship that's full of emotion and full of ego, even though people don't see it as that.
I would add that it's inherent only if, again, we're listening to the ego in that special romantic relationship. If that romantic relationship has been turned over to the Holy Spirit, then, you know, the purpose is no longer to keep the separation going.
Also, what I would think would be the kind of love that they're referring to, being that it's not a special relationship, it is not for a single individual. It is a total love. So,
absolutely.
Which means there is no specialness in the love that you're feeling, let's say, for your partner. Because
absolutely.
That love encompasses everything. If there is a specialness where you hold your partner special, more special than someone else, then that's romantic love. That's,
right.
I don't think that's the love that the Course is talking about.
Right, right. And just like you indicated, So I think I was speaking more to the process of turning to the Holy Spirit, that what you're speaking of is ultimate, and I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Definitely agree. How about we read the next paragraph? On this side of the bridge, you see the world of separate bodies, seeking to join each other in separate unions and to become one by losing. When two individuals seek to become one, they are trying to decrease their magnitude. Each would deny his power, for the separate union excludes the universe. Far more is left outside than would be taken in. For God is left without and nothing taken in. If one such union were made in perfect faith, the universe would enter into it. Yet the special relationship which the ego seeks does not include even one whole individual. For the ego wants but part of him and sees only this part and nothing else. Again, I'm loving, we're going to get more and more into the idea of this bridge, which is the subheading of this section. So on this side of the bridge, you see a world of separate bodies seeking to join each other in separate unions and to become one by losing. I love how it says when two individuals seek to become one, they are trying to decrease their magnitude. Each would deny his power, for the separate union excludes the universe. So that, to me, is another way of saying that the purpose of a special love relationship with the ego is to keep the separation going, is to keep the separate identities, the separate world intact.
And that keeps the dream going.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And then it goes on. For God is left without and nothing taken in. If one such union were made in perfect faith, the universe would enter into it. So that's cool, because again, that's speaking to me also of the how relationships can be used on behalf, you know, when given to the Holy Spirit, on behalf of union rather than separation. Yet the special relationship which the ego seeks does not include even one whole individual. So this is not ever, we're never going to find union through the ego. Period. Let's keep reading. Across the bridge, it is so different. For a time, the body is still seen, but not exclusively as it is seen here. For the little spark which holds the great rays within it is also visible, and the spark cannot be limited long to littleness. Once you have crossed the bridge, the value of the body is so diminished in your sight that you will see no need at all to magnify it. For you will realize that the only value which the body has is to enable you to bring your brothers to the bridge with you and to be released together there. I love this paragraph. I love this section. This is where all my underlining and all my hearts that I drew in the margins start. This first paragraph reminds me so vividly, again, of Dr. Eben Alexander's story, which we've talked about so many times, when he is experiencing this reality, when he's not in his body. He described seeing other people, other bodies, like down below him when he was flying on this, I think it was like on a butterfly wing. I remember him describing seeing people and animals, and they were all dressed very similarly in plain clothes and just like beaming with happiness. And yet, again, when he lifted his awareness, his mind to the awareness of love, he went even, you know, to like higher levels. And so this just reminded me of that so vividly, because he saw bodies, but not exclusively as we see here. Here we only see bodies. There, you know, he could look beyond the bodies to the even greater love that was present. So that just really, really reminded me of his writing in this paragraph, his experience, I should say.
Corinne, what is his first name?
It's Eben, E-B-E-N.
Oh, Eben.
Eben Alexander. He wrote the book Proof of Heaven.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
For me, what it brings up for me is the part where it says, for you will realize that the only value which the body has is to enable you to bring your brothers to the bridge with you and be released together there. What it brings up for me is when I first was guided to the Course and you know, embracing intuition and understanding what it is that I'm doing here now in the world. When I first started, I kept on asking, you know, for my body to be fixed in some way, that I could just heal and that everyone would see me as a quote-unquote normal person. And now it's like this shift has happened where I'm not asking to be healed anymore. I'm simply more and more learning to accept what's here as it is and love what's here as it is. And that somehow, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's like if the physical appearance of something disappears or not, it doesn't matter, because I'm aware now that whatever I'm doing, well, it seems like I'm here, it's for a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't matter whether the appearance of my body changes or not, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense.
Well, that's so beautiful.
Ooh. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Deidre. Was anybody else going to say anything? I heard a noise, but I wasn't sure if anybody wanted to speak. I just wanted to add that I love, again, how it says, once you have crossed the bridge, the value of the body is so diminished in your sight that you will see no need at all to magnify it. So again, there's that indication. The value of the body is so diminished in your sight. It becomes so unimportant, so unnecessary to our life that we see no need at all to magnify it anymore. That reminds me of just what we previously spoke about, that, you know, what you focus on becomes real to you, comes near to you. And here in this level of form, bodies seem very much magnified. They seem very much in focus. And Deidre, what you just described to me is an example of magnifying it less and less, that it's you no longer, you know, see that physical healing as a goal. The goal has shifted to something much, much greater. And
yeah, like I'm not saying, God, please fix this. Please heal me.
Right, right.
You know? Right. Yeah. So,
that
yeah.
is so awesome.
Yeah, that's the word that came to mind for me. It was the word shift, like a mental
mm-hmm.
model that you're able to. I don't know if you do it consciously. Do you do it consciously? Like, you actively say, I'm not going to view it this way, I'm going to view it another way.
Sometimes I do. Like, if I'm going up a flight of stairs or something and I seem to be, like, the appearance for a moment seems like struggle, I'll be saying in my mind, I'm not a body. And as I keep going up stairs.
Wow.
But it's just, it depends on what moment to moment. Like, most of the time I'm not saying anything. And really it's just about, like, I still have thoughts that enter my mind. It's not like they're not there, but it's learning to be compassionate when they show up. And it's like, oh, this is just another attempt to try to get me to buy into the hook, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful testimony.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I really like that word that the Course uses with magnify. You will see no need at all to magnify it, because that to me just again sort of speaks to this holographic nature, you know, these holograms, that they're right now very magnified, very in focus, very, very sharp, and yet it's the mind that, to also share, Brian, with the question that you said, is it something, you know, that you do consciously or unconsciously? I think a lot of times we're saying these things to ourselves. We're saying, help, you know, we're turning to the Holy Spirit, but it's that it also happens automatically as our trust deepens. As we, my sense is that, and again, this is just my interpretation, but the next sentence we're going to read is that the bridge itself is nothing more than a transition in your perspective of reality. I think we're beginning to approach that bridge, let's say, now, here. And so as our trust builds, we open to that more and more. And so these experiences come, and they're automatic. They're not conscious choices. So just like Deidre said, sometimes it's things that she says to herself and, you know, other times not. I don't think it's, you know, something that we force. It's something that we are opening up to as we make these tiny, small choices to turn to God, to turn to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think things like talking to yourself is just a way sometimes to demonstrate your willingness to see it differently.
Definitely.
So it's not that I'm necessarily doing anything. It's just that saying that helps me find the willingness to turn it over to God.
Yeah. Beautiful. Because it is always all about turning to the Holy Spirit. We can't, we're not going to do it intellectually on our own.
Yeah, I can't do it intellectually. It's nothing, it goes even beyond the level of like an affirmation. Because it's not the words, it's something much deeper.
It's something that's being activated, like as a through the words that are helping us to remind ourselves almost.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's read this next paragraph. This is one of the ones that I have hearts next to and lots of underlining. here we go. The bridge itself is nothing more than a transition in your perspective of reality. On this side, everything you see is grossly distorted and completely out of perspective. What is little and insignificant is magnified, and what is strong and powerful cut down to littleness. In the transition, there is a period of confusion in which a sense of actual disorientation seems to occur. But fear it not, for it means nothing more than that you have been willing to let go your hold on the distorted frame of reference which seemed to hold your world together. This frame of reference is built around the special relationship. Without this illusion, there can be no meaning. You would still seek here. Wow. So again, on this level of form, everything we see is grossly distorted and completely out of perspective. This is where, you know, with a paragraph like this, where it says, you know, what's little and insignificant, which is this idea of separation or this body is magnified, what is strong and powerful is cut down to littleness, so we're, you know, cutting down our awareness of love. This, to me, I've lost my train of thought. It'll come back. This to me is another way of just saying empty yourself. I don't know anything. Any idea that I think I have about reality, any idea that I think I have about what truth is, I haven't got the slightest clue. And so letting go of every idea that I hold and simply opening up to God, to the Holy Spirit, is all I need to. Because it says, as it goes on in this paragraph, but fear this, you know, disorientation not, for it means nothing more than that you have been willing to let go your hold on the distorted frame of reference which seemed to hold your world together. So I want to hold on to nothing.
That's awesome, though. See, for me, for me, it's money, it's job title, it's level, it's how important, you know, other people think you are. And when I hear a reference to someone else who's got more than me, I'm telling you, the ego just grabs me by the throat. And it's that same thing. it's disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
exactly what that period of confusion. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Just with what you shared, what comes to mind is just that that disorientation, that confusion of being pulled down into the ego, and then when we are lifted up, so to speak, I don't have the right words, except, you know, the opposite of that, you know, turning to God, that it can feel confusing and like, what is this? Like, even that feeling that we all had, I'm sure, when we first turned to this material and we're like, what the heck is this saying? It's totally disorienting because it goes against everything. It goes against everything that we're taught and that we think about ourselves and about the world.
Well, one thing I feel called to mention just based on Brian's comment is that you're not looking for the title or even the abundance that goes with the title. You're looking for something much deeper, which is a connection to your divine self and a feeling of safety and security.
Yeah.
And freedom and not having to worry.
Yeah.
That's what it really is. So instead of like, if that feeling comes up where you're like, oh, I really want that title, you can recognize that, no, I'm actually not looking for the title. I'm actually looking for something that only comes from my higher self, which is security and safety and freedom and abundance. And really, I actually have those things.
Amazing. That's
beautiful.
Right?
Yeah, you got it.
So beautiful.
Yeah, so. It's an internal thing for security. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Man, it is awesome.
It's so helpful.
Deidre,
so
you're
helpful.
Good at that.
Yeah.
Yes,
you are.
It's my intuition that we all have. We all share the voice of God, and it just, it's just like the way I was taught. One of my teachers, I was blessed to be taught personally by Doreen Virtue, and one of the things that she taught when learning to develop your hearing the inner voice, the voice of God, the Christ voice, your inner teacher, is also just to just trust that whatever comes out of your mouth is meant to come out. So it's just like blah. And you just trust that your words, because it's not the body speaking, it's your higher self, and we all have this. I promise you. You have it too, Brian. Corinne has it. Everyone has it. So it's not that I'm special. It's just that I've worked with it. I've gone through a lot of fear, developing the intuition muscle, you know, and learning to trust it. But it's something that I'm really passionate about helping everyone learn that they can trust.
Wow.
So.
Thank you
awesome.
So much.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. That was so helpful. Deidre, I'll just also add too with what popped into my head when you were sharing about Doreen Virtue and, you know, trusting yourself, just letting the words just come out and just trusting it. There's a part in the course that also says something very similar, that you might be guided to say things that are quite startling to you, and you might even find them embarrassing, but fear not. Trust.
Oh,
you were guided to do these things. So
you know what, Corinne? That is so awesome that you just mentioned that, because I happened to be on Craig's Google Hangout yesterday, and he had a gentleman by the name of Kevin Rice.
Yes.
Speaking with him, and he brought up that exact section of the course, and
That's
he told us a really beautiful story about how he was guided, listening to the voice of God, to wash a man's feet. And initially, you know, it was really funny because Kevin himself, the personality, has an issue with feet. Like, he doesn't like feet, and it actually kind of grosses him out. But Spirit told him that he had to wash this man's feet, so he started washing the man's feet. And all of a sudden, the man whom he's washing his feet, he starts to cry. And so the man says, I can't believe that you're washing my feet right now, because not, you know, a few moments before you started washing my feet, I was on the computer reading about the spiritual significance of what it means when someone washes your feet. And there's no way you could have known that I was just doing that. And then all of a sudden he comes in and he starts washing his feet.
Wow.
So I just thought I would share that because it's such a good example of how you might be asked to do really strange things. But it's always for a reason. So.
Wow. Thank you so much. I knew Kevin Rice was coming up, and I love him. I heard him speak at the Course in Miracles conference in New York City this past April, and he was just fantastic, so I'm totally going to tune in to
it was awesome.
So thank you.
There were so many things that he said during that talk that were just amazing, particularly since it is Valentine's Day. I'll just mention this one little thing that he said, because he was talking about how often people come up to him and are asking, you know, like, when will I find my partner? I really just, you know, I really feel I want to be in a loving, divinely guided relationship. And basically, he was talking about the search for that, and how if you're fervently feeling the desire to search, that's how you know which voice you're listening to. And if you're willing to sort of let that, you know, uncomfortable feeling of I need to find this go, and just allow yourself to be in the present moment and know that you already are the love that you're seeking. And it's almost like you're doing a reversal and allowing the relationship, the holy relationship, to reveal itself to you. So there's a lot of great nuggets in that talk, though, guys. So definitely check it out.
I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly his backstory, too, because he started out as a fundamentalist Christian. And just how...
I know the story. Please, do you want to share it? It's just so good.
Okay, so he was just completely... I'm doing a really shortened version. You might want to listen to the way that he tells it on the video. But basically, he had come to a point in his life where he was completely unhappy and, you know, was asking God on a daily basis, like, look, I'm done. He had been teaching in a fundamentalist church since the age of 15, and he just knew that there was something more to than what he was doing, because he felt like he was a hypocrite in a lot of ways with his life and how things were going, and was just really unhappy. And he just said to God one day, like, look, I need for you to show me. And he ended up seeking out a therapist and, you know, started telling the therapist what was going on for him and why he was so unhappy and why his background, particularly in that church, was not fulfilling for him in any way, shape, or form. He felt like he wanted to do God's work, but he just wasn't doing it. There were too many inconsistencies and things that just didn't make sense. And the therapist stopped him, which I found was hilarious, and he actually said to him flat out, I don't think you need therapy. And he was like, what? What do you mean I don't need therapy? And the therapist handed him a copy of A Course in Miracles and was like, I really think you should read this book. And
I get such a kick out of that story because being a counselor, you know, you're told you never, like, you know, put your suggestions, you know, you never leg your beliefs on a client, whatever. And I just, I don't know if he shared this on the Hangout or not, but when he spoke at the conference, he shared that it was one of the big, like, evangelical preachers on TV. I don't remember the guy's name. The guy got, like, busted for prostitution, and that's what sort of collapsed Kevin's world when he was that young preacher.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got into that, but then he said that. He's like, I need a psychiatrist. So he went to the psychiatrist, and just what you said, the psychiatrist is like, you don't need a psychiatrist here. And I think he said, I've never done this in my, like, 20 years of practice. And he goes, here, and he hands him the book. So, I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And just
thank you. I'm sorry, go on.
Just a lovely, lovely soul, you know, just how he's able to relate to people and just really made you feel that the presence behind everything that he was saying. So I really, if you want to check out that Hangout, I really recommend it. Yeah.
TJ, would you, and I could do it too if you don't have the time, but if you'd be willing to post that in the Course in Miracles study group on Miracle Share. So
sure.
That you can easily
find
it. Cause if you, are you sure? Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. That way we can easily find it. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
How about we read one more paragraph? Fear not that you will be abruptly lifted up and hurled into reality. That's what I used to be afraid of. Fear not that you will be abruptly lifted up and hurled into reality. Time is kind, and if you use it for reality, it will keep gentle pace with you in your transition. The urgency is only in dislodging your minds from their fixed position here. This will not leave you homeless and without a frame of reference. The period of disorientation which precedes the actual transition is far shorter than the time it took to fix your mind so firmly on illusions. Delay will hurt you now more than before, only because you realize it is delay and that escape from pain is really possible. Find hope and comfort rather than despair in this. You could no longer find even the illusion of love in any special relationship here. For you are no longer wholly insane, and you would recognize the guilt of self-betrayal for what it is. There's so many beautiful little snippets in this paragraph. I love first, again, just how I mentioned at the beginning, it used to be my fear that, you know, if I aced the course, it meant I was going to just be out of my body. And I love how it says, fear not that you will be abruptly lifted up and hurled into reality. Time is kind, and if you use it for reality, it will keep gentle pace with you in your transition. How opposite is that than what we're used to thinking about time? We're used to thinking about time as cruel, right, with aging and sickness. And this is clearly saying that when used on behalf of awakening, when the purpose is given to the Holy Spirit, now time becomes kind. The urgency is only in dislodging your minds from their fixed position here. This will not leave you homeless and without a frame of reference. Here again, this just reminds me of that idea of just empty ourselves. Hold on to nothing. Just, you know, be willing to let go of everything, giving it all to Spirit. The period of disorientation which precedes the actual transition is far shorter than the time it took to fix your mind so firmly on illusions. Delay only hurts because we realize it's delay. I like this, also this concluding idea. You could no longer find even the illusion of love in any special relationship here, for you are no longer wholly insane, and you would recognize the guilt of self-betrayal for what it is. Isn't that a beautiful, just affirming statement that, you know, we've opened up to this. We're willing for another way. We're willing to turn to the Holy Spirit. And so it's saying here that, you know, we know that we can't find love here. We know that we're looking for the love of God. We're no longer wholly insane. Yay! Only partially.
It's like, there's an old song. I don't want to date myself. But, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah,
remember?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the same thing, but I mean, the saying is.
Yeah,
we are
absolutely.
We're looking in the wrong place.
Absolutely. It's so true.
Mm.
It is true.
Yeah, this helps. This really helps.
It's good.
That automatic thing, though, a couple of paragraphs before, there was that automatic mindset thing that, you know, rather than consciously having to, you know, turn the page or stop thinking something, it becomes more like it becomes part of you. That's where I need to go. It needs to be automatic.
And
love,
you don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
Because all your only little part, this is where, like, the Course says that the ego part of our minds finds it insulting that we're asked to do so little, that we don't have to worry about those, you know, about digesting this or about getting it, that literally all we need to be concerned about in any moment is just turning to the Holy Spirit within. It's just that tiny moment of just bringing our mind to God, bringing the mind to love. Just really willingness is what it boils down to. It just comes down to connecting with our own sense of willingness in any given moment. And as we do that, our trust builds. We have experiences that build our trust, and so it's really only our willingness. And our willingness doesn't even have to be perfect. When we're going to get together next week, and if anybody wants to skip ahead, the very, very last paragraph of this section is one that I have printed out on my wall, and it says, "Your willingness need not be complete because His is perfect. His task is to atone for your unwillingness by His perfect faith, out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release, His perfect willingness is given you." So our willingness doesn't even have to be perfect. So we're really asked to do so little.
Well, and it's so interesting that, again, this topic is coming up tonight, because literally just before the call, I was listening to a video from another Course student, and he was talking about how we'll have this kind of split that's happening in our mind, because there'll be part of our mind that wants the process to go faster than it is, like our awakening to go faster, and that actually creates guilt, because we think that we're, you know, behind the eight ball or something, or, you know, not, we think that we should be more advanced than we are. And really what he said was just having the willingness to allow the process to unfold exactly as it's supposed to, because it's already been decided when everything unfolds, and it's guaranteed. So you can effort the whole way if you want to, but you're actually causing yourself a lot more struggle in doing that than just allowing yourself to be where you are. And that was so powerful for me. So I share that with you all, because I'm sure somebody needs to hear it too.
Perfect.
Definitely.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Gee, Deidre, you make
awesome.
It sound so easy. Everything's automatic.
It just, like, more and more I'm being shown that we are carried. We think that we have to do all this work and effort and make things happen, but it's really a process of letting go. Letting go of the idea that we have control over when things happen, and we have control over what we do and how we do it. And it's really about recognizing that we are instruments of God already.
I love that. Yeah.
We're not the ones in charge of what's unraveling, you know, we're just the instrument.
You know, Deidre, you are an angel. You really are. And it was last week you made a comment about somebody with a guitar. And I didn't speak up, but that's me, I think, that you picked up. You were talking in relation to someone else, but I'm the one with the guitar because I've been trying to teach myself guitar. It's just so – you're an angel. You are an angel.
Yeah. You are.
You're so – your comments are just so – ooh, they give me shivers.
So helpful.
You know?
Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh. Love.
If you're seeing that in me, it means it's in you. You know that,
oh,
right?
Wow. Yeah.
You know that, right? Okay.
Yeah, thanks. And what's wild is you're like 3,000 miles away, which is just amazing. God bless.
Thank you.
Oh, well, that's, I think, a beautiful, beautiful note to end on. So... this call has been so helpful. Thank you, everybody, so much for sharing
same.
Your
Thanks
life.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, family.
Thank you, Carla. Love you all.
Love you
good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.